Two passages of scripture that appear, it's quite the paradox actually, about the action and activity and presence of God in very different ways, and yet I think united by an insight or two that we'll get to in a second. First, from Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. When I look at the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? What is man that thou art mindful of him in light of the wonder and majesty of all creation? And yet, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus asks rhetorically, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows, and presumably worthy of that level of micromanagement. How to connect these two rather stark, contrasting ideas? God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of all the amazing things that reflect a very long time of activity and evolution and process and beauty. And yet the micromanaging of every single life, such that compared to sparrows that fall with his knowledge, the numbering of the hairs of our head, what's the connecting thought? Well, to begin, I would suggest that the central theme that unites these two texts, and in one sense, unites and strengthens our faith, is simply this. No matter what, no matter where, no matter with whom, God's got your back. God's got your back. How do we know this? Well, thinking about the Psalms, the heavens and the earth, the works of thy hands, I think we can at least begin to imagine that God's got our back, because God's been around for a while. God's been around for a while and has been doing some amazing things for a very long time. Part of our vacation was at Crater Lake, and I'll get into the geology of that briefly in just a second, but there was a ranger talk in the lodge one afternoon, at which point he had this black rock in his hand. It was a very light rock, actually. And he passed it around, and he said, what you are holding in your hand is older than the pyramids. Older than the pyramids. And, you know, I think Americans sometimes feel like Johnny-come-lately to the world history scene. You know, I mean, we have Independence Hall, but that was just 1776. You know, and compared to even the cathedrals in Europe, much less the Holy Land. And then we were holding in our hands something that he said was older than the pyramids. And I thought, hey, we got cool stuff that's been around for a while. Come on, you know. And then he told us about, well, the process by which Crater Lake came to be. The lake itself sits at about 7,100 feet elevation. And when you look at the lake at that elevation, you're actually standing about two-thirds of the way up of what used to be a 12,000-foot mountain, a volcano. And 7,700 years ago, a volcano erupted. In the course of doing that, the lava came out and created, you know, in part, that little black rock we were holding. And then the vacuum that was created in the mountain caused 5,000 feet of it to collapse, thus making a 7,100-foot mountain out of a 12,000-foot. And then 200 years of rain and snow filled up the lake. And the lake looks substantially at this moment exactly like it looked 75 or so hundred years ago. Interesting perspective. More so when the ranger said, we actually know that people saw it. The mountain erupted and the prevailing winds took it to the east, and there were people living west of it that saw it happen and drew pictures of it. We have it on caves. There were people there. 10,000 years ago. Hey, we got cool stuff. God's been around for a while, even in the U.S. of A., before it was that. And then we learned that it took 7,700 years to bring Crater Lake to what it is today. But it took an additional 500 million years prior to that to create the mountain range that brought about the volcano. The Cascades took a long time to develop through the shifting of plates and all that. Well, I did the arithmetic. If you take 7,700 years ago and multiply it by 65, you have 500 million. That's how long it took to create the mountain range. I'm not done. Take that 500 million and multiply it by 9, and you have 4.5 billion years, which is what geologists think is the rough age of the Earth. And another 2.5 times that, and you've got the Big Bang, and I don't want to go any further than that, but you get the idea. This has been going on for a while. And the creation of the Earth and the stars and the planet and the mountain range and the cap rock. You know, you fly over the Grand Canyon, a little bit of water and a whole lot of time. And I look at thy majesty, the work of thy fingers, O Lord. God has been at it a while and will continue to be so. God's got your back and has had the process of creation and recreation in mind for a long time. On the other hand, the last thing Jesus said to his disciples was, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and so on. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Somewhere between 13 and 5 and 500,000 and 7.7, God has been with us and is here right now. God's got your back because God is here now, not just in history. Jesus said, I'm with you always. The promises where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst of us. How do we know? Well, most religious people will say that at least once or twice in their lives, they've had what maybe some might call mountaintop experiences, or in some sense, the reality of a connection, and experience the reality of connection to something beyond themselves, some transcendent moment. For some, it's very dramatic, a conversion experience, having been born again, and they give testimony to that. That's not the case for everybody. Others, dramatic in other ways, speaking in tongues and so on. On the other hand, and when I explain this to my class as something that's constitutive about religious experience, I'll ask them, and you know, you might consider this yourself, last Christmas time, you know, how many of you attended a worship service? Well, some of you attended it here. And I asked, for how many of you did that worship experience include, at the end of the event, the dimming of lights, the lighting of candles, and the singing of Silent Night? And for how many of you did that experience include deep feeling and even weeping? And we almost, in a sense, orchestrate a connection to the presence of God right now. Large churches do it on Easter when the choir sings the Hallelujah Chorus. Same thing. People will perhaps, only in retrospect, maybe if they've been reminded, how intense the feeling is and how connected they are to something they understand to be transcendent when someone holds their hand and prays in a hospital room or some such thing. There really is emotional evidence that God himself is present even now. God's got your back because God has been here a while. God's got your back because in very real ways that are very private in many cases, we know somehow that we know, and maybe even can't articulate it, but can only feel it through experience. Thirdly, I think we get the idea that God's got our back as that emotional experience becomes real in the company of other people. St. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. The constitutive foundation of American culture, of all culture really, is the family. And it is in the family and through the church and other forms of collection that we become civil, social people, that we learn values, that we learn that there are things that are not only important to believe, but to act on those beliefs for the well-being of other people. We have all had parents, teachers, mentors, people who have taught us skills, taught us to translate the abilities we have into useful work that needs being done, taught us how what we believe and how we act on it matters. So we live in the company of others who have shown us very directly that we are loved. That is God's intent. That we can make mistakes and survive. That is God's intent, because we have all experienced the sweet relief and reality of being forgiven by other people, of having had relationships get edgy and then come back together. God's got your back because God has been here a while. God's got your back because God is here now. And the reality of that real presence comes through in the company of others, through family, through faith, through fellowship. It's been kind of an up and down week around here. We had a large emotional funeral on Friday, large emotional wedding yesterday. And I took notice that at both events, there was a lot of laughter and some tears. Bride and the groom yesterday were weeping during the vows. It's not unusual. Because love and loss are two sides of the same coin. Let's do one more little arithmetic thing. That 7,700 years that Crater Lake has been in existence, if instead of multiplying it by 65, you divide it by 100, you have roughly the life expectancy of a human being, 80-ish years. That in comparison to the 500 million, what is the value of one human life? God says it's valuable enough to keep track of the number of hairs on our head. Well, as we get older, that becomes an easier job for a lot of us. But here's the thing. If it were not so, I think we would devolve into complacency. You know, I mean, nobody's thrilled about the idea that we're in the fourth quarter, and a lot of us are. We all know how to do that much arithmetic. But the point is, every day becomes more precious. Every day becomes another opportunity to do all of those things that God would have us do, to celebrate the goodness of life, to mend fences where they need to be, and to try to do something productive and useful that will continue in some sense. Love and loss are two sides of the same coin. Without it, we would be complacent. With it, it's the only thing that makes the loss worth it, is the experience of deep love. So at the end of the day, the work of God's hands, the hairs on our head, it's really a coin flip between love and loss. And no matter which way the coin lands on any particular day, the reality through the gospel, through the witness of people throughout all time, love, loss, God has our back. Amen.